Good morning, folks. Happy Friday and welcome back. We're closing out a holiday week where I guess at least a few of us remember what the nation was once founded upon, once self-evident truths, now long ago repudiated, and now we're continuing to see the fallout from the death of a once free nation and a republic and so forth. In any case, we got lots to talk about, and I got David Justice back with us again. What we're going to do is to say good morning, David, and let me let you kick us off. Where would you like to start today?
Well, it's been quite a week, you know, with cocaine in the White House and nuclear threats of power plants being destroyed, and you know let's not take our eyes off the reality that we are already in a World War III scenario, inside of what is referred to as hybrid war or fifth generational warfare. And the media is involved, and we have to walk extremely cautious at this and use constructive thinking and constructive criticism, critical thinking skills. And so when we deliver what we're about to share today, let's also keep in mind that, you know, we have to be in the light, and we have to be in the truth. And so let's look at these stories from that perspective. Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Well, you know, as you mentioned it that way, I guess that leads me to start off with a whole different story than I was going to, because there are some major news or major not news stories. There's some major smoke. I would put the Coke in the White House on that burner, simply because everybody with half a brain knows the White House is full of cokeheads. It's just that they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And it got so bad that evidently the Secret Service had come out with it. We'll come back to that one. But when you said, essentially, what can we do? It occurs to me one of the things, and we're trying to do that here, is just call things what they are. Make sure people understand that the truth is coming out. And one of the ways that manifests itself is we don't pull our punches. We need to call things what they are. We need to, for example, we had this last week. We've already talked about the Declaration of 76, or some say the Declaration of Independence. I had a guest on last week that pointed out, it never actually uses that word in the document. It never calls itself that. But here's the thing that I think is important to note. There are so many things that we're being told, that are lies, and in the second case, so many things that are now coming out that people just aren't willing to call them what they are. Here's the example. I saw a piece about this mystery meat. Some are calling it mystery meat. Others are calling it things like lab-grown meat or cloned meat. It's not meat at all. And, of course, people don't know that. Pig really isn't food. And when we get the Bible mistranslated, we don't understand that if we think something is called meat, we can eat it. Well, human beings have meat on their bones. We don't eat humans for the same reason we don't eat pigs. They don't have a cloven hoof, and they don't chew the cud, and they're not food. But what is also not food is this cloned meat, the mystery meat. And I want to point out that, no, there's even a better word if we're going to call it what it is. Let's call it tumor meat or cancer meat. But tumor meat is really more appropriate, because what this is meat that is cloned from cells that grow really fast. Well, guess what the fastest growing and, in fact, immortal cell lines, because they reproduce forever, are. In general, they're tumors. And so what we have is a lot of meat that they don't advertise it this way, but it's being cloned from tumors in various kinds of animals, chickens or beef or whatever. So it grows real fast. So, you know, if you're not inclined to pay attention to what you eat, go ahead, have yourself a pound of tumor meat and enjoy it. Anyway, I think that's part of what we want to talk about today, David, is let's just be straight with people about what's really going on. Go ahead.
Well, I think in that regard, I was having a conversation with a friend this week, and rural America, rural farms, farm produce, agriculture, if the powers that are in control of this illusion, this delusion, can come up, manufacture using the pharmaceutical, using pharmaceutical products, oil, and other means of creating false food, then there's no more dependence on rural America. And I think that may be part of the strategy, is to eliminate dependence on farming and agriculture, and just have the people in the city reservations, you know, white man reservations in the city, where they can collectively control everything about their paradigm. So the rural world has always been a problem for this, the control mechanism in regard to the technological society called the city. And I think it just appears to me that anything that they can do, fake meat, you know, insects, whatever they're going to create inside their chemistry, inside their laboratories, that is the new, means of eliminating, dependence on real food and, real economy. And so it's not surprising that they would go down this road of fake meat and.
Well, how are you going to kill so many people otherwise?
No, it's not at all a surprise.
Got to keep them under control. Got to make sure they can't feed themselves. Got to make sure they have minimal survival diets if they survive at all. And it's just part and parcel of saying, hey, we're going to destroy their immune systems. We can work at it from the through the bloodstream way, and we'll do it through the front end too. So, and I'm not surprised they're even working on trying to control the back end out of cows and saying we don't want methane. So that's how we're going to get rid of cows and destroy farmers all across Europe. Holland, for example, the Dutch farmers, they're an endangered species. It's not surprising, David, that so many people are beginning at least to wake up to how widespread the attack is. And I think that's the key. Let me mention the other thing. Well, then we'll talk about some of the more important stuff, but on the smoke, front. The fact that cocaine was discovered in the White House at a so-called public area, and everybody knows, hey, was it Hunter's coke, or is it one of the many other people there, or was it just some mule dropping it off in a public area? Well, here's the part that isn't getting emphasized. There's actually two elements to this. One, can you remember, most of us are old enough to remember when the American president wasn't a communist Chinese plant on-to-take traitor, and where, prior to O'Biden, although... prior to Biden, there was Clinton, and I remember his brother. I've got the video that was given to me by a friend who, another talk show host, and before that was an undercover reporter at MENA, Arkansas. Anyway, his own brother, Bill Clinton's brother, said, hey, he's got a nose like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. So it's not surprise, but I can remember when it would have been shocking to the American people that we had cokeheads in the White House, in the Oval Office, and that they're probably doing lines on the Resolute desk and other stuff. But on the other hand, it was shocking to people once when the president had to say, I am not a crook. And yet Tricky Dick Nixon looks like a saint compared to any of the scumbags that are in this current regime. The level of how far down this toilet bowl we've gone is what is really shocking to people, or should be shocking to people. They're not even surprised anymore. And the related item, I guess, and this is a story that I think was kind of fascinating in the smoke, it was evidently the Secret Service that used an open radio channel, and they knew there would be scanners monitoring to broadcast the fact that we found an unknown white powder here in the White House, and they knew it was going to be, they knew it was going to get out. And as the suggestion has been made, this was the Secret Service saying, look, we've had enough. Too many coke heads in the White House. We're tired of carrying water for this communist Chinese traitor. And, the fact that he can't even empty his own diapers is a problem. Let's just let it slip that we know and they know we know what's going on. Go ahead, David.
Again, we're at war. And it's important to distinguish the enemy, Biden and his regime, the committee behind him, the puppet masters that control them, the banking system, the media. They're all part of the push toward the communization or complete corruption of America. Now, so everything that happens from here on and has been happening really since, 1933, I don't know when Smedley Butler led the Bonus Army and talked them down from getting violent, or 1913 when the Federal Reserve, when the bankers took over.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a steady march toward the globalist agenda, and using not only the education system, but the church itself, the institutional church – now we're watching the crescendo of this. And so it is a fascinating thing to be able to distinguish that we're in warfare. And by the way, I'm gonna just put a little plug in for General Flynn's book on fifth generational warfare for those that don't really believe that it could get this bad without actually, you know, seeing guns and bombs flying. But we are in fact in that war. And so, yeah, anything that they can use to distract us from what's really going on, you know, we can count on that happening. So no, I don't know whether it was Biden or whether it was, you know, Hunter Biden or Obama in the White House, because it's not surprising.
I'm sure
that the White House is just part of a completely corrupt system that has been in control of government for decades. And no, it's actually kind of funny if you really kick back and think about it, that they're so blatantly busted right now. And it's going to be fun to watch how they backpedal, how they spin this and how they get out of it, Mark.
Well, I have a suspicion what's going to happen, David, is it's just simply going to disappear. It will quietly go away and there won't be any more discussion of it until we see the next, maybe a bunch of meth in the White House or whatever it is that follows. It's, you know, they got away with hiding Hunter Biden's laptop from hell for years, and they're still not officially mentioning it anymore. The coverage has gone to zero. Durham was told, okay, you know, we'll let you talk about the fact that we rigged the system, but your notice, nobody has been indicted. There's not going to be anybody held accountable for it. We're certainly not going to see people like Hitler or any of the other criminals that overturned an election in orange jumpsuits, and it's disappeared. Well, hey, speaking of which, here's another story that almost was really big news over the weekend, almost disappeared. France was burning. So in France, basically, we had an invasion that has been going on for years and years. It finally got out of control. France isn't France anymore, any more than America is America anymore. They've got tons and tons of Algerian, Moroccan, various other Islamic invaders that have literally taken over the country, destroyed the culture. There was a line from My Fair Lady, the movie and the stage play decades ago, where Professor Henry Higgins says, you know, the French don't care what you do, actually, as long as you pronounce it correctly. And that is still the case. They care about the integrity of the French language, but they don't care about their republic or any of their forms of government or even their culture. It has been destroyed. So over the weekend, France has fallen. Here's one of the headlines. Over 1,000 buildings burned, 5,600 vehicles torched, 3,300 arrests, and that is per capita more than the George Floyd color revolution here in the United States. France is basically burned up. And you know, it was a flash in the pan. They're just going to quit talking about it. Go ahead.
You know, we've had a third world invasion occurring for I don't know how long it's been going on, but incrementally, and now the third worlders are in position to be used as a weapon against the first world, which is being reduced to the third world.
A fifth column.
Now, I'm sorry, this is Western, white, Western European culture that these third worlders are migrating to, but there's incentives going on. And the source of these incentives you can trace to the puppet masters. So what's going on, what we're watching, this invasion is to reduce and supplant intelligent culture, first world culture, with a more suitable population that is easier to control. And that's where we're going. And so the white race is under attack right now. They're coming after the white male. And they've critical race theories in school. They're basically teaching that our entire history is evil and that it was all about slavery. And they've completely obfuscated the truth. And inside this, they're conducting a war with the objective of eliminating the first world so that they can have a easy population to control, an easy time, you know, sitting back as oligarchs and controlling the masses. And so, yeah, France, we're just watching, you know, what's coming to a theater near you, folks. This is where they're going. So we're getting a little bit of a sneak preview over there. And it's really a horrible thing that's going on. But while we, the white people, and while Israel, and while the true church is busy sleeping, you know, here they come. And I think that this is, okay, I'm going to throw in one more because I talk about this a lot. Remember, let us not forget, according to Paul, it's a powerful delusion. And Jesus said even the very elect could be deceived. And it's the basis is because we refuse to love the truth. So it's a form of discipline. And I pondered this over the course of, you know, many years, is that would we otherwise wake up if we weren't getting spanked to this degree and the anxiety that we feel, you know? So I think we actually need to be slapped, and we're being slapped about as hard as anyone could be slapped. And it's a form of discipline. We better wake up and assume our rightful role in society, which is the light bearer, the truth bearer, because if we don't step up and do that, then it's the end of everything. And so I can't help but think that these invasions, just like in ancient Israel, Assyria and Babylon, were used by our Father to spank Israel back to being awake, not woke, but awakened. And so I trust that all this going on will finally put us into a corner where we think, well, I better wake up and step into the full capacity of who I am and start acting like an Israelite, start acting like a son of God, start acting like a disciple and an ambassador that I am. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, that's a good point. When you say we've been slapped about as hard as we could be slapped, you know, my immediate reaction is, oh, wait a minute, we haven't seen a nuclear slap yet. And that is no doubt on the Biden-Fuhrer agenda. They're working hard to say, come on, a double dog dare you, slap me, hit me with all you got. So we may see the tsunami bomb. You know, the press is essentially trying to deny that the Poseidon nuclear drones that, might carry a 100-megaton weapon, the Tsar Bomba underwater and produce a, who knows, they argue, is it a 1,000-foot wall of water or a 1,500-foot tsunami? Well, in either case, it basically will wipe out the entire eastern coast, the Gulf Coast, and the west coast up to the mountain ranges. So if that's the slap that's coming, there's going to be a lot of people that won't survive to wake up, and that's a sad thing. You know, you mentioned, as you were talking, David, I thought of a couple things. One, what are we seeing? Well, we remember the words from the Declaration. We're seeing this invasion, this fifth column. You mentioned 5GW. Well, we're seeing the fifth column. The fifth column is invited. It's been invited to go into France and take over. They were disarmed so that it was easier for the invaders. Same thing's going on here. We haven't been as completely disarmed, but we're certainly seeing it. So the fifth column is coming up and getting their bus tickets. They're going throughout the United States. They're ready to spring into action whenever the code word is issued. And the idea, again, to quote the Declaration, to reduce them under absolute despotism. And that is exactly what we're seeing. You know, buildings burning in France. The riots cost well over €1 billion in damage, and that's much higher in proportion even to the Antifa Black Lives Matter revolution that we saw here. So many things essentially that are making this same point. And I can't help but think that if we're paying attention, we ought to recognize the traitors from within are the ones that are expediting this. There was a story, and this one really bugs me. I mean, when I look at things and I go, this ought to wake people up, it gets very little press, but the Fox News reporter Bill Malugin showed video of a Biden Fuhrer, I am only following orders, Gestapo agent, so-called Border Patrol. Now, some of the Border Patrol, I'm sure, are upset about the fact that they're watching the country be invaded, but they're not doing anything about it. They have their orders. Anyway, this Biden Border Patrol agent was on private property on a ranch on the Rio Grande River cutting fences, razor wire fences that were put up to stop people from coming ashore. He was cutting the fences. This is American sworn officers that are supposed to protect the nation. In fact, aiding and abetting an invasion, and worse, they're doing so trespassing on private property and destroying it. What a bunch of unbelievable stuff. Go ahead.
Well, it's treason. Let's just call it what it is, okay? You're right. It's called the Declaration of Independence, but it's actually an indictment against the government. It's just in as basic words as I can make. And the government ceases to be a government when it becomes criminal. Okay, we've got judges that are in the pockets of politicians, which are in the pockets of business people. We've got, you know, full-blown fascism, full-blown, it's a hybrid communism. It's total and complete corruption, people. And this power to govern was held in trust by this government. That's the uniqueness of the American government, is we have documents, the constitutions of each state and the federal constitution delegate power to government to hold in trust, to use the power to secure to us the freedom and the unalienable rights endowed upon us by our Father. And when government ceases to function to that end, and when a long train of abuses and usurpation, yes, absolute despotism, then the power reverts back to the people. Now, we have plenty of evidence to show, to demonstrate. I mean, just it's proof of claim. It's self-evident that the power is now vested, is revested back in the one that delegated because of a breach of trust. And breach of trust is a cause of action against the fiduciary who fails to execute the trust granted to them, which in this case is power. And now we've got the long train of abuses, usurpations, pursuing the objective, which is absolute despotism. So we the people, that power belongs back to us. So let's stop quoting Romans 13 and let's stop quoting Scripture as though Scripture gives power to a satanic, completely contrarian, insolent, anti-Christ system, and recognize that the power is now revested back in us. And so it's time to start carrying, start packing, because when this third world invasion, when the powers that be say go, you know, and we're busy wondering whether something's going on in Ukraine while our entire nation has been invaded, you know, they have the advantage. And if they have just a week advantage, you know, a 2 week advantage or a month advantage over us, you know, that's enough to annihilate the country before the church, the Israelite people wake up and realize that, no one's coming to save us. You know, we're it. When the government turns against the people, which is what happened in 1776, the duty reverts back to the people who are the children of Father on this earth. And that's where we are, people. And it's fifth generational war. And so we learn the principles of fifth generational war and we begin to fight inside that dynamic. And, you know, and I think that this is really critical. I think it's important that those of us that can pack do pack and realize that it's just a matter of time before this thing turns bloody, Mark. And there, I don't know if I could be more blunt than that.
Well, I mean, it's time for being blunt. It's time for just basically saying, look, who are we kidding? You know, as Patrick Henry said in that famous speech, and we'll talk about that when we come back, because the battle has already begun. right, we are back, and this is the Drive Time Friday show, talking about a number of things that are going on, and the fact that, the war has already begun. At least a few people are starting to wake up to it. But as we went to break, something David said reminded me of a couple of famous lines from probably one of the most inspirational speeches ever given on American soil, a fellow named Patrick Henry, and I always find it fun, interesting, and certainly educational and even inspiring to listen to. But it occurs to me that this year especially, some of this is just so appropriate that you can't pass it up. He says this right towards the end of the speech, and I want to just introduce it. I may change just a word or two to make it even more clear. They tell us, sir, that we're weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be next week or next year when we're totally disarmed, when there's a Biden-Führer Gestapo agent stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? We're not weak, he says, if we make proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our power. Millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy, including the Biden-Führer and his F-15s and the nuclear weapons of the left coast advocates of tyranny, can send against us. We don't fight our battles alone, he says, too. There's a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us, with us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone, to the vigilant. Okay, he goes on to say the following. It is too late now to retire from the contest. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard. The war is inevitable, he says, and I say let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It's in vain to extenuate the matter. People may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms, or worse still, folks, nowadays, nuclear explosions. Our brethren are already in the field. What are we standing here idle for? What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Here we go. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And again, that's Patrick Henry. And it's something that, at times like this, people ought to be remembering because it is ever so appropriate. Go ahead, David.
You know, I'm prompted to first of all, I want to say that, you know, there's a scripture that says a fool is known by his many words. And sometimes when I go on the air with you, I think of myself as a fool because I know I talk a lot. And sometimes I think I'm not being coherent. I guess there's so much going on that I want to say, and there's so much on my heart that I want to share that sometimes it's hard to know where to begin. Inside of General Flynn's book, he talks about the importance of your target audience and how important it is to be sure you're talking to the audience and facilitating a dialogue with the audience that is comprehensible. And so this is what I want to say in that regard, all right? We are in war. We are at war. Fifth generation warfare is mental warfare. It's psyops. It's manipulation. Folks, we've been in manipulation for so many decades because of the institutional Christianity teaching men to be limp-wristed, you know, weak-kneed, soft-spoken. You know, in lieu of what real meekness and real humility is, which if you'll look, you'll find out that it means power under control. But the institutional church has taken men and put them to the sidelines where we're all wondering, you know, what can I do that's in alignment with scripture, and what, you know, how do I fight a war when I can't even see the enemy, and is it right that we should pick up arms and win, and who's going to lead, and all these questions, they're overwhelming me because I see so clearly that we have been engaged. So our question becomes, well, what are the rules of engagement here? What are the, we've never been in a revolution. We've never experienced the Civil War. Our generation hasn't. This is real is because we got to get through our denial that it's real, folks. This is not just words being spoken for ratings on a talk show. This is real stuff we're dealing with, and it's been real for decades. And, you know, there's been a lot of good men and women go in the last few decades to attempt to bring a message to the world that it didn't want to hear, because it can't hear it, because it's the world. And our language is supposed to be alien to their world, because their world, that the ruler of their world is Satan and the dominion of Satan. And here we come along in our attempt to accommodate so that we can have a degree or go to seminary so that we can speak inside this delusional world, we lose sight of our kingdom. You know, our kingdom is what America is founded on. And that's what's missing. And that's where our fifth generational war begins, is really knowing who we are, who our father is, and knowing who our enemy is. And if we don't start there, then, you know, we're lost and we will be defeated, Mark.
Well, no argument on that score. And, you know, the only thing that you said that I questioned as you were speaking, David, was that our generation has never seen a revolution. The answer is no. That's not quite true. We watched it. We sat like bumps on a log and watched a revolution against everything that the nation once was right before our very eyes. And you're right, it was a fourth generation or maybe a fifth generation. It was a propaganda war. Go ahead.
Forgive me, I stand totally correct. I stand totally corrected. I guess I was thinking violence is what I was thinking of. Because I mean, after all, when you talk revolution, you're talking violence, right?
Well, no, not if we're dealing in fifth generational warfare. And you're right, the revolution did occur. The coup d'etat did occur. The question becomes when? Was it 1913? Was it 1933? Do you know why I single out those dates? What is important about the 1920s and what was going on with our money? What about World War I? You know, there's some history behind this, because, you know, to the victor goes the spoils and the recounting of history. And so if we don't know the real history of what happened, then we won't really know how to engage these people without bloodshed. They have taken this thing over, and you're absolutely right, and they use their wits, and, you know, and they use their trickery and deceit and manipulation, and if we don't know how that works, then we're susceptible. And that's what the problem is we don't know our enemy's tactics in his warfares, you know. We just speak against him, but, you know, we're never really specific in what are the techniques. And, but thanks, Mark, for, you know, distinguishing those techniques, the manipulation and the sleight of hand, Mark.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things that are along these same lines. This war that's in progress, fifth generation war, and some of the battlefronts and so forth. There was at least a little bit of a victory. And then I'm working up to the biggest threat that is still out there. We'll certainly close with that today. And that is nuclear escalation, as the Biden-Fuhrer and his puppet masters have been jonesing for so long. But we had the Orwellian Ministry of Truth, as one story put it, that was busted. Earlier in the week, there was a federal judge, I'm going to give the guy's name, Judge Terry Doughty, who issued a preliminary injunction clear the obvious. The regime, the Biden-Fuhrer, violated the First Amendment, gee, do you think, by suppressing the free speech of the plaintiffs in an ongoing lawsuit brought by various Republican-led states. And essentially, the lawsuit alleges, and the judge agreed, that they colluded with and or coerced social media companies to suppress disfavored speakers, viewpoints, and content on socialist, they didn't spell that right, media platforms by labeling it things like disinformation, misinformation, or malinformation. And the suppression of the disfavored speakers, viewpoints, and contents constitutes government action and violates the plaintiff's freedom of speech in violation of the First Amendment to that thing that we once called the U.S. Constitution. And it was really funny. I mean, you read the judge's 144-page summary here. It's pretty darn dramatic. He called it an Orwellian Ministry of Truth. And he basically just said this present case arguably involves the most massive attack against free speech in the history of the United States. Plaintiffs are likely to succeed on the merits. That's why he issued a preliminary injunction in establishing that the government used its power to silence the opposition. Gee, somebody at least is coming right out and saying it. There you go.
You know, Mark, let me just say this. Getting a preliminary injunction in a lawsuit is absolutely huge. It is very, very difficult to get a preliminary injunction issued. And what a preliminary injunction is the president is stayed. He can't, use censorship. He can't interact in any way, shape, or form with these social medias. They're banned. You cannot do that. So they were completely banned. And this is what the judge's decision inside of a preliminary injunction, which means that the likelihood of them winning is more likely than not. So now here's the amazing thing about this decision. Check this out. So Joe Biden is going to appeal this decision. I mean, the judge comes out and says, you can't censor, and Obama says, wait a minute, you can't tell us we can't. I'm going to appeal that. You know what's amazing is that they use the law while it's convenient for them to get a little publicity, but they're not really interested in the law. They just pretend to be, and they use it for grandstanding, and they use it for an act. That's part of their manipulation is how they use the media and how they use the system to coerce us into cooperation, Mark.
It is kind of astounding. I mean, think about it. And this is, you're right, but I think it bears at least a minute of reflection. Pause. How ironic it is that you have a regime, that's the proper term, that basically has a ruling from a federal court that says, you guys are gang raping the Bill of Rights. You are completely usurping these people's freedom of speech. And their response? Well, yeah, that's true, but we're going to appeal the decision because we don't care. We're going to do it some more.
Right? I mean, you know, how obvious? I mean, if it's not obvious before, how obvious is it now? Oh, no, we're going to appeal the court's ruling that we can't surveil, that we can't censor, that we can't. We disagree with that. We think we can't.
Yeah, don't tell us we can't do what we've been doing. We're going to continue doing it.
Wow. You know, I wouldn't believe it. If I wasn't seeing it, I couldn't imagine a time like this, and now here it is. And it keeps unfolding and shocking me.
Yeah, it ought to be. It ought to be shocking to people. But what it really ought to be beyond that is awakening to people. And, well, okay, so we've got about a little over 10 minutes left. Let's talk about the other really big news of the week. Thankfully, this one hasn't come to Biden fruition yet. But they're still trying hard. They have been pushing and pushing and pushing for a nuclear escalation. And one of the things that we've seen, we better get used to it because we're going to continue seeing it, is false flags. And they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. They blew up that bridge near the Kerch Strait. They have been trying to blow up this power plant in Ukraine because it would shed radioactive fallout all over. No, not Ukraine, although that would get the edge of it. Mostly the prevailing winds would take it into Russia. So when Russia invaded, one of the very first things they did, along with taking over some of the Biden and Obama chemical and nuclear and, of course, especially biological research places. In other words, all these bioweapons factories. They took those over, and they therefore got a hold of some of the information, and then they made some of that public. But they also took over this power plant called the Zaporizhzhia Nuclear Power Plant so that Ukraine couldn't destroy it and pollute Russia. Now, ironically, there has been a whole lot of movement of late. We saw the two traitor senators that basically the primary wings of the bird of prey, Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, the warmongers of both sides. that have introduced a resolution in the Senate saying that, uh-oh, if we're able to provoke Ukraine into doing our dirty work and to blowing up that nuclear power plant there and spreading radiation all over Russia, we're going to call that a provocation. We're going to say it violates Article 5 of NATO's convention, and therefore, we'll do what we want to do. We'll go to war against Russia. So Russia has basically said they've been coming out with it, saying expect a false flag. They've been trying to do this. For their part, the crooked press is saying, oh, Russia wants to blow up the power plant and pollute their own land. Who's stupid enough to believe that? Answer: if you believe they blew up their own pipeline, why not, right? But here they are essentially saying that they're going to blow it up, and it was imminent over the holiday weekend. The last thing I saw, and I guess this is the really good news, is that some of the Russian forces have announced, no, we're not going to withdraw. We're going to fight. We're going to prevent this from happening because we know there's a false flag out there. So it looks like, at least so far, they have prevailed in not letting it happen. So if there's any good news, that's it. But go ahead, David.
If you were to reduce it to its least common denominator, Mark, what would you say the absolute crux issue is in Ukraine? Why we're there and why this is significant in the world? What do you see as its strategic importance?
Well, basically, I mean, I think that I wouldn't call it strategically important. I would call it important in keeping things covered up. The reason why Ukraine is such a big deal is because this is where the bodies are buried, figuratively and literally. This is where Burisma was. This is where the money was being laundered. This is where the bioweapons were being developed before they were shipped to, among other places, to communist China. And so all up and down the line, what's clear is, yeah, they've been getting away with this. And if the truth comes out, they were scared that Russia would go in there and do what they've done, which is to say, hey, look at all this evidence. But thankfully, they still own the press, so that hasn't really been released. But, yeah, I would say that's the big deal.
So what they're fighting for, what they're fighting for is a narrative. They're fighting. They said that it's this way. You know, and then they paint a portrait of what we're supposed to think, and they say, okay, that's it. And then they operate from that premise, and they move toward war to support the picture that they painted, which is propaganda about Ukraine. So is Ukraine a scapegoat? Is it like the shiny thing that it's got everybody looking at while we're all being hypnotized? You know, is it to keep our eyes off the Federal Reserve System, the banking system, transhumanism? Is it to keep our eyes off, you know, the global government thing? And,
it does all of those.
A total distraction.
It does all of those things, David. No doubt about that. It helps to keep people's eyes off the ball and so forth. But ultimately, I think what it really does is it's the place where the bodies are buried. It's, we can't have that information coming out because this is too great of a gravy train. So ultimately, the reason they don't want it out is because they want to continue doing what they're getting away with. Why let a good thing go to waste?
So you're saying when you say they, you're saying
the deep state, the power
who's
brokers,
the they, and
those that
go ahead.
Those that are making the money from the too good to fail, too good to jail. Hey, you know, we have one of the most corrupt centers on planet Earth is Ukraine. You can say essentially, as some would say, it is the most corrupt government on the planet. So it's essentially at the heart of what it is that they want to accomplish worldwide. Why not?
So Smedley Butler, I would really encourage all your listeners, please go online and find Smedley Butler's War is a Racket. He wrote it in about 1932, 33. I don't know. I can't tell you the exact when. But it is an amazing read because it distinguishes the players, the corporate players that ultimately, you know, fast forward into the year 2023, are really the people that have an interest in the Ukraine thing.
It's funny.
It's all tied together. Everything's tied together.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, they've been, there's been an agenda, you know, since the Balfour Agreement was made. There's been an agenda, and that agenda is to consolidate. And, you know, it appears that, yeah, it's being consolidated under a global monetary power, over which very few have control. So it's a private system. They lure us in. Then we become slaves to that system, following their rules and laws and traditions and commandments. And if they want to go to war, oh, it's because a significant change is necessary. We need the war to cover that up. Go ahead, Mark.
Exactly. Well, so, you know, as we've got these last couple of minutes, this is the thing that I encourage people to pay attention to. I think at this point, we know a whole lot of stuff that's been demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt. The whole COVID-19 84 pandemic, it's about killing people. It's about destroying the economy of the world. It's about doing as much damage and as much destruction. Why? Because the adversary comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, what else is new? It's not like we don't know this. Well, but that turns out to have been just the beginning. There are all kinds of other things that they're planning too. And we see that playing out in Ukraine. And, you know, if you can't kill 5 or 6 billion people the way that they have been, you know, an injection at a time with the bioweapons, then, hey, nuclear war is a great way to do it. We can terraform the whole planet at the same time. We can produce this nuclear winter that we want. That'll cool the planet off. You know, if you believe that we're willing to destroy the world in order to cool it off a bit, and we're injecting all these chemicals into the atmosphere to do that, well, why not just inject a whole megatonnage worth of crap up there? That'll cool things with a nuclear winter real fast. And so ultimately, I think the big news here, the encouraging thing and the discouraging thing is, yes, we're owed a good slap, as you put it, by the Almighty, and we just might get it. But I think he's given his people every chance to recognize what's coming, to make whatever arrangements they need to, and if that means, you know, make teshuvah, repent, come out and get where you need to be, or just plain get right with him before it's too late, great. But ultimately, there is no denying at this point, as Patrick Henry put it, the war has already begun. And we need to understand that and take action.
When you say get right, how I interpret that is get right with truth. You know, get right with God is to get right with truth and to get right with, you know, walking in the will of that truth, walking in the one oneness of that, and then the result presents itself as a result of walking in the one, walking in that light. And so that's where we are right now. You know, it's hard. What do we do? You know, marching orders, what's the rule of engagement? Like I said, well, the rule of engagement begins in you, and you've got to find that in you, because you're about to be called on to do something that you couldn't never imagine that you've been called on to do. And we're there. That's what this time is.
Exactly.
Time of testing. You got what it takes. Can you stand when it's time to stand? Can you kneel when it's time to kneel? That's where we are in history. And we're being tested. And go ahead.
Well, one last quick thing. We got about 15 seconds, and that is, we didn't mention it. We've certainly seen this this line that Yeshua says, you know, better a millstone be wrapped around people and they dumped into the deepest part of the ocean than to allow what they're doing in the public cesspools. Literally saying, hey, we're so brazen, we're just going to take kids out, cut off their genitalia, abuse them, sexually destroy them, and then throw them away and you know, harvest the adrenochrome out of their dead little bodies. How is that for blood? And that, folks, is where the music originally came up, and as is usually the case, I stayed on the line for just a minute or so to talk with David after we finished the live part of the show, but I did, in fact, in this case, more or less accidentally, leave the recorder going, and I want to attach that today for those that are listening to the podcast. There we go. Okay. Hey, thank you, David.
Are we warmongering?
No. The war has already begun, you know. Patrick Kim was right. Well, is it going to get better by lying supinely on our backs? The war's begun. We're just telling people about it. You know what? I didn't mention, if we'd had another couple of minutes, I might have.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this week's Torah portion, last week's, is Pinhas, or Phinehas, if you remember. And it's the story of the fellow Zimri and Cozbi are doing the dirty deed right there in front of Moses and the assembled multitude and everybody. Right there, and you know, they go in the tent and they're doing the thing, and they have just joined themselves with the daughters of Midian. They're doing Horan. They've gone before Baal. And ultimately, if you think about what they were doing, it's kind of tame compared to what's happening in school libraries in America today. But good old Phinehas, he got the covenant of peace, the eternal covenant of peace, and an eternal priesthood, Kohanimship, because he took a spear, and he went in there, and he ran them both through. And it would have been called, you know, murder today. And ultimately, it's kind of fascinating to see how the creator of the universe treats this act of what would have looked like a slaying. Now, by the way, he also says Phinehas stayed the plague. 24,000 people had just died. So it's kind of a fascinating comparison. I think it's funny that this is the Torah portion that's being taught, you know, in the annual cycle right now.
I would have really enjoyed having this conversation on the air. This is great. I would have real that, you know what? Next week.
Well, I'll tell you what I can do, David. I will.
That's an interesting thing. Go ahead.
I'll put this up in the podcast. I didn't shut off the recording yet. With your permission, we can just, I don't think I shut off the recording. I'll just put this in the podcast. So folks can hear.
You know, Phinehas is so important and so few people know about him, you know, and his, the priesthood that he was given, you know.
It's
a dangerous topic. That's a dangerous topic.
You got it. It's a difficult thing to teach, and I always enjoy talking about it. It's going to be, we talked about it a little bit last week, and the actual Pinchas or Phinehas Torah portion, is tonight's topic. So I'm going to go through some more of this tonight and tomorrow as well. But, you're right. It's fascinating. And, you have to be careful because we're not talking about going out and encouraging people to go and do likewise. But what we are saying is, there was a time when the creator of the universe said, you know what? This stuff is so deadly. The kind of evil that is being perpetrated right here and rub your noses in it. I'm thankful. He said that, that Pinchas was zealous for me. So he got the covenant of peace. And think of the irony. Yep. Well, no, the truth that's in that.
The rules of engagement, you know, the Phinehas, I think, provides a frame of reference. Even to examine the question of the rules of engagement and the weapons of warfare, you know. And if we stick close to scripture, you know, the first place, and Paul distinguishes it in 2 Corinthians, where, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not spiritual, but carnal, but spiritual. You know, and so, and occurring within our imagination, basically, and then getting control of that. And so getting control of our projections onto what's happening, or, you know, other people's projections onto what's happening, which is what the mainstream media is all about. They give stories about facts rather than the facts. But that's all left to us, you know, and that's, nobody's coming for us to teach us this. This is something we have to, this is the rules of engagement. This is the weapon. Knowing and understanding their strategies and tactics.
Well,
the manipulation, the psyop, the whole thing.
And what's interesting to me, and I'll probably think about, pray about, and talk about this a bit more over the weekend here, is that Phinehas was not disarmed, you notice. The people of the mixed multitude of Israel went out of Egypt. They went out armed, and they had it, and they went to battle. They found that if they went to battle when they were told to go to battle, because Yah was leading them, they prevailed. And when they didn't, they didn't. They got their heads handed to them when they went off half-cocked. But I was basically just kind of reminded gently by that little still small voice this morning that Phinehas had a spear when he needed it. He didn't have to go out and find himself a tree and sharpen it up, and by that time the dirty deed would have been done and it would have been all over, and who knows how many more tens of thousands would have died. No, he was ready. It's just that when the call to action came, he answered it. And I think that is part of the key here. And it was a physical weapon that was used in a carnal, and in fact, against a carnal warfare that was very, very spiritual and anti-creator of the universe in nature.
Yeah, well, that's important stuff. That's just really, really important.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
It really is important.
I'll put this up. I'll connect it to the end of the podcast. If we run long, it's not a problem. I can't put it in the replay, but I can at least do it for folks that download the podcast, which I think is probably the majority of people that listen. They listen later. I'll edit this a little bit, but I'll put it up at the end.
Okay. Well, the answer is before us if we can see it. It's there if we can see it.
You got it.
So We got to keep our eye on the spirit of truth and know that that spirit is our Father that leads us into what we need to do and when we need to do it.
All right. Well, hey, very good. Well, I appreciate it.
I hope that's not too esoteric for everybody.
No, I don't think so. Not in this context. So, well, have a good one, David. Thanks again. And Shabbat Shalom. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
And with that, folks, I'll say thanks again. It's never been more important to know who we serve. Shabbat Shalom.